The Dead Zone Containment Protocols. From Mantic Games.
No Survivors, by Chris Nichols. Lantis woke to the sound of her wall-mounted intercom buzzing. The taste of the previous night's session, sour in her mouth. It took her a few moments to sit up. Looking down at the state of her clothes, rumpled and stained, she muttered to herself,
"At least I don't have to dress today."
Clearing the foul-tasting phlegm from her throat, she stood and stretched, rolling her head around to the pistol shot accompaniment of vertebrae cracking, and stumbled to the intercom.
"What is it?"
She groaned. Her head was swimming.
"Sorry, Captain, but I really need you to come take a look at something."
"Stein,"
she said in exasperation.
"I pay you to look at some things, don't I?"
"Yes, Captain. Sorry, but we're getting some weird comms traffic from the surface and..."
"Fine,"
she snapped.
"I'll be right up."
Lantis broke the connection without waiting for an answer and moved to her bedside drawers. Sitting on the bed, she reached for the middle drawer and pulled out an oxyplast. Rolling up her sleeve, she stuck it in the usual place. The sobering effects would take minutes, more than enough time for her to straighten up her clothes and walk the 100 meters from her cabin to the bridge. The Grace was a standard core-class cargo transport, nearly 2 miles in length, with a crew of 26. The bridge was well to the fore, with quarters for the crew just aft. A single corridor ran the length of the ship to the engine room at the stern. A four-wheeled vehicle, known as the Mule, carried the crew end-to-end in just under 5 minutes at top speed. It wasn't the fastest, but it beat walking. The area between the bridge and the engine room was entirely devoted to cargo. Containers were secured at docking points, with access doors every 100 meters at each side of the hull. At this moment, only 2/3 of the containers were full. Lantis was only just able to afford the slide with the profits from this trip. Paying the crew was going to be difficult again. As she entered the bridge, her head cleared, and she had a bit more spring in her step.
"Stein, report."
She had just took her seat at the center of the room. At one of the workstations on the right side, a middle-aged man with graying hair spoke up.
"Captain, we've been monitoring a situation on the planet for a few hours now. Sensors registered some kind of energy burst at one of the science facilities."
"So? It's a research area. They're probably conducting experiments around power sources."
"Well, that would explain why we couldn't identify it. But shortly after, we started receiving images."
"Images?"
Stein was as pale as she had ever seen him, and he seemed to tense and take a deep intake of breath before he replied, as if the very act of forcing the words out was an effort of will.
"You'd better take a look yourself, Captain. I've uploaded them to your console. I warn you, they're not pleasant."
Lantis was bemused. In all her years she'd known Stein, he'd been a solid and dependable spacer. Now he was acting like some jittery kid. As she tapped the button on her console and the first image appeared on the screen, she saw why. It was hard at first to make out what she was looking at. The image had been snapped in a hurry from a handheld device. The motion blur, an odd angle, indicated it had been taken on the move. As she stared, details began to resolve. A face, of sorts, but like nothing she'd ever seen. A mouth full of sharp teeth, flesh tinged with a sickly shade of purple-pink, like spoiled meat. Everything about it was monstrous, alien, except the eyes. Bloodshot and crazed, but there was an unmistakably spark of intelligence there. The thing was, or had been, human. She scrolled through the rest of the images. There were dozens, and they showed more of the creatures in various shapes and sizes. Some also showed bodies. One showed a reinforced hatch with a notice affixed to it. Squinting, she made out the words "biohazard area," and some other unintelligible stuff that sounded like scientists speak. Whatever was going on down there, it was big. It was also something she didn't want to be part of. She could feel the eyes of the crew on her. Clearly Stein had shown the images to all of them. The bridge was silent, pregnant with tension. She needed to get the Grace out of here fast, and she needed them all calm to do it.
"Well, if there's trouble brewing, let's not hang around."
She swung her chair to face the view screen. Looking at the planet below, she activated the comm control at the arm of her chair.
"Osiah, this is the bridge. We're breaking orbit. Get the slide drive online."
She stood and walked over to her navigator.
"Carl, find the nearest marketplace for our stock and let's get out of here fast. Make it a short slide."
"Yes, Captain."
Carl went to work at his station, while the captain continued to give orders to the 7 other bridge staff. There was a palpable sense of relief in them all as they went about their work, the familiarity of their assigned tasks easing the tension that had built up. Moments later, Carl confirmed that they had a lock on a nearby system. Lantis resumed her seat and activated the comm channel for a ship-wide announcement.
"This is the captain. All crew prepare for slide."
She closed the channel and turned to Carl.
"Get us out of here."
At that moment, the power on the bridge went off, Atlantis and her crew were plunged into darkness for a few seconds, before emergency lighting washed the bridge with an eerie red glow.
Carl, what just happened? Why haven't we gone yet?
Atlantis barked.
Captain, my terminals did.
Carl responded, looking perplexed as he tried several switches and buttons.
Nothing, we've lost navigation.
Other sections report.
Atlantis snapped into her comm unit.
Bridge, this is the engine room. She's gone cold. Working on her now,
replied the chief engineer, sounding harassed.
It looks like it's going to be several hours before we can get them up again.
Communications are down, Captain. I'm not getting anything from the planet. I don't think we're transmitting either.
Sensors down, Captain.
Captain?
Stein swiveled to face her.
We appear to have lost most primary systems. We've life support at least, and gravity, but we're dead in space.
It's like somebody just flicked a switch and turned us off.
Atlantis was getting the feeling that her day was about to get a whole lot worse.
Stein, work on getting the sensors up. I want you to denetwork our systems. Nothing hits every system like this all at once.
Turning to the rest of the bridge crew, she commanded.
All of you, I want you to do a full reboot of your stations and don't network them. Once we have sensors up, we can see what's going on around us. Master at arms to the bridge.
Atlantis ordered into the comms. A few minutes later, a man, in his middling years, sporting a scar on his left cheek, came onto the bridge.
You called, Captain?
He asked. Atlantis paid this man and his lads for protection. Running cargo for the last 20 years, Atlantis had come to accept that men like Davran were a necessity.
Davran, we're dead in space. Take your team and secure the two airlocks.
Her well-honed sense of self-preservation and paranoia meant she was acutely aware of how vulnerable they were.
I don't want to have to deal with any unwanted guests while we have our shirts stuck over our heads.
Davran grinned.
Don't you and yours worry, Captain. Anyone tries to come aboard unwanted gets a lead headache from me and my lads.
Davran's lads were 6 men chosen by the Master at Arms. They were tall, intimidating brutes, a lot of them. Some were former corporation soldiers, like Davran. He didn't ask for resumes, but had assured the captain several times that anyone would think twice before trying to get past their security force. With their gray jumpsuits, blue caps, and shock sticks, they did look the part.
Davran, we can't see what's out there. Give your boys the shotguns.
Already planning on it.
With that, Davran turned and strode over the room.
Captain?
Stein piped up.
Do you think it's the best idea to give Davran's thugs guns?
Atlantis understood Stein's objection. They were thugs, but they were Davran's thugs, and he was her man.
Better let me worry about that. You worry about getting sensors up. I want to know what's out there.
She could have kissed him in that moment for not asking the question that was burning away like a spotlight in her mind's eye. Was this sudden outage linked to the images? Tales of the horrors, the corporations were happy to visit upon each other, and anyone who got in their way were well known. And this all seemed too much of a coincidence. Atlantis didn't believe in coincidences. She'd seen too much in her ill-spent life. She wished she'd brought a drink with her to the bridge. Gamma 13 walked into the room where the men of Sigma 13 waited. Even without their armor, they were an impressive sight. He knew these men, had fought beside each of them, and could anticipate each of their actions, and they his. Except the sixth man in the room. He was a replacement engineer, unknown to Gamma 13. His last engineer had been lost in a firefight in a Forgefather complex. Trying to hack into some tech, he hadn't seen the trap that had been left and had been fried inside his armor. The Forgefathers were always booby-trapping their tech. Gamma 13 looked forward to the day he could avenge his comrade, but for now, he had this new member to integrate into the team. Although he was trained and genetically altered like any enforcer to be one of them, this was going to be one of many tests before he would feel he could rely on him as he did the rest of his squad. As he entered, the men had immediately stiffened to attention. He let the silence hang for a second, feeling a certain sense of pride in their discipline.
14 hours ago, recon on the planet below monitored a burst of energy from one of the science stations on the western continent. They were working on something they dug up.
He continued.
17 minutes later, all communications was lost with staff. 23 minutes after that, reports of creatures attacking nearby settlements were received. In light of the nature of these reports, the Council has enacted containment protocols.
He paused, letting the last statement sink in. His men sat motionless. They knew what it meant, and he knew that in spite of their discipline and their regimented training, what they craved above all else was action.
We will not, however, be making planetfall on this one.
That got a reaction. 2 raised an eyebrow, and 4 looked confused. Finally, 2 spoke up.
Sir, if we are not making planetfall, how does our presence here serve the Council?
Gamma 13 smiled. 2 was always the most pragmatic, a quality that served him well as the squad's second in command. His eagerness to serve the council bordered on a religious zeal.
An excellent question,
he replied with a grin. He walked to the podium at the end of the chamber and stepped onto it. Pressing some buttons on the podium, the screen behind him turned on, showing an image of a planet their ship had just arrived at.
This is Nexus Psi.
The planet's image grew until a cargo ship could be seen in orbit.
And this is our objective.
The picture changed again, becoming the ship on a black background with a stream of technical data underneath.
The ship's name is the Grace.
Gamma 13 continued.
The captain is one Anaria Lantis. There is a crew of 26 registered individuals.
Their images filtered onto the screen.
It's a standard core-class cargo ship, which means it has a McKinley drive. This will have been shut down when the containment protocols was enacted. However, they're an experienced crew, which means we can't be sure how long they'll stay that way. Standard containment protocol requires certainty that no information has leaked from the area. It appears that prior to the blackout, several images captured a secure facility in the center of the outbreak were beamed off-world. The Grace had received these files. We have no way of knowing how many of the crew have seen the files, or whether they have transmitted them onwards. The records of several of those on board suggest that they may have rebel sympathies. In light of this, mission protocol dictates that we must board the ship, secure the data drives, and eliminate any risk onward transmission of the information they contain. 6. How long would you estimate it would take them to reboot the McKinley drive for a slide?
He directed his question at the new engineer.
4 hours. Though, that's not going to help him, sir. As you know, when containment protocol is enacted, the navigation core memory of any ship in the immediate vicinity is purged as standard. Without that data, traveling with the drive would be suicide. They could fly straight into a star.
Thank you, Six.
Gamma 13 pressed another button, and the airlock on the Grace nearest the engine room was highlighted red.
So we board the ship, secure the engines, and make our way to the bridge. Six will be responsible for downloading the ship's data log and determining if any messages have been sent that could compromise the containment protocol. Combat shields for 2, 3, 4, and 5. 6, you will be responsible for getting your own equipment out of the ship's stores. Let's see if he can plan and anticipate as well as his predecessor.
He thought to himself.
Once the ship is secure and Six has the relevant data, we will compromise the hull integrity of the ship and drop it into the atmosphere to burn up with all hands. No survivors. Suit up!
We have sensors back,
Stein informed Lantis.
Thank you, Stein. I want you to start running scans. Let me know what's out there.
Running scans now.
Stein got to work manually configuring the sensors to scan the area immediately around the Grace. Lantis turned her attention to the communications officer, who was trying to get the comms console up.
Communications, what's taking so long?
I'm not sure, Captain. I think it's the software. It's just not working.
How long before navigation's up, Carl?
Captain, I think I'm having the same issue as communications. The hardware may be fine, but there's just nothing in it. The software is gone, as is the memory.
Lantis was really starting to wish she had brought one of the bottles with her when she had left her cabin earlier. Flicking the switch on her chair's comms unit, she was about to ask for an update from the engine room when Stein turned from his console and yelled,
Contacts! 2 of them! 1 large ship a few miles out, 1 smaller, heading our way fast!
How long before it's here?
Just a matter of minutes.
Speaking into the comm, Lantis alerted the master at arms.
Davran, we have company incoming.
I have 2 men at each airlock. The rest of us are holding the position at the midway point on the mule. Let us know which end they're going to, and we'll make our way there.
Davran sounded eager.
We'll roll out the red carpet for them, for sure.
Davran, this is Stein.
Switching his earpiece on, he continued.
They're too far out at the moment, but I'll let you know.
Lantis walked over to the sensor console where Stein was working and watched the small ship close with a Grace.
They're headed for the engines.
She walked back to her chair.
Davran, get to the rear airlock now.
Are you sure, Captain?
Davran responded.
I thought they were too far out to tell.
Think about it, Davran. If they're responsible for what's happening, then they know that taking the bridge is going to be useless to them. We can't control anything from here. The only thing that's going to get us out of here is if Osian can get the engines up. If they secure the engine room, we're going nowhere.
Davran tapped his earpiece.
Understood. On our way.
Turning to his driver, he instructed,
Get us to the starboard hatch, now!
The small four-wheeled mule sped down the corridor towards its destination. The little engine being gunned for all the power it could muster. He craned his head around to speak to the passenger in the rear seat.
When we get there, I want you to use the Mula's cover and set it up across the corridor, adjacent to the airlock. I want the other two on either side of the airlock, as we drilled. Anything steps through that airlock, you catch it in the crossfire and you kill it.
Davran took his sidearm out and checked it.
I'm going to head off to the engine room and check out the situation there.
They were approaching the airlock, and the two men he had stationed there were already in position, covering the entrance to the ship. After parking the mule, Davran swiftly made his way to the engine room. Inside it was a scene of chaos. Ossian's men were working all over the place, wires out across the deck.
What's taking so long, Ossian?
Davran queried.
I can't power them up any faster. The drive is very complex.
Ossian didn't even look up from the wiring he was cobbling together as he spoke.
If we cause an overload, we'll be running the risk of setting it off prematurely. We're going to reverse the polarity of the neutron flow, or we'll be pulled in on a random course.
So?
Davran was confused.
That'll still get us out of here, and that'll be good.
Ossian dropped the work he was doing in front of him and looked up at Davran, clearly exasperated.
No, that would be bad.
He went on in a lecturing tone.
We could be pulled into anything. Without navigation to tell a drive where to point the beams, we could be pulled into a star, or the planet below.
Davran nodded his understanding.
So we need to hold them long enough to power up the engines and fix the navigation.
Nodding to himself, he went on.
We'll give you that time.
He paused, scratching the scar on his face.
Though it might be best if you close and seal this door just in case.
He turned and headed out the engine room and back up the corridor, leaving them to their work. Arriving back with his men, Davran pulled his shotgun off the back of the mule where he had stored it.
Time to earn our pay, boys.
He bantered, cocking the weapon and taking up position behind the mule to wait.
Stein, is the camera at the rear airlock working?
Lantis asked.
Bringing it up on the main view screen now, Captain.
The screen at the front of the bridge came to life. Davran's men had their backs to the camera. Three behind the mule, including Davran, and one either side of the corridor, were all in position waiting. Lantis knew it wouldn't be long. It was clear now that her guess had been correct, and she'd felt a little relieved at that. The ship approaching was clearly making its way to the aft airlock. If she hadn't made the call to send Davern's men there when she did, he would have been hard-pressed to reach it in time. She sat back in her chair and watched the screen. Seconds seemed to last minutes, and she became aware that the rest of the bridge crew had stopped to stare with her.
Get back to your work, people.
She barked.
Captain, they're docking now.
Stein confirmed. Lantis grabbed the comm.
Davran, they're here.
We'll make them sorry they called around, Captain.
Davran jested. Gamma 13 checked the sidearm's charge and went on to check his Dianetic assault blade. The shape-mounted alloy springing from its wrist-mounted sheath. They were about to dock. Six was at the front, the hump of a sentry gun clearly on his back, ready to hack the controls to the door and allow the squad to board. Two and three would be the first to board. Using their combat shields, they would form a wall to cover the rest as they followed behind. As the boarding arm extended out from their shuttle to clamp onto the Grace's aft airlock, he sent one last command to his unit.
Remember, this is a containment protocol. Make every kill fast and efficient,
he emphasized. His squad responded with their affirmatives. Davran felt more alive at this moment than he had in months. Situations were like this were what he lived for. Once he had been a trooper in one of the minor corporations, but had left to work in a different type of private sector. He had earned more money working for Lantis in the last year than he had half a decade in his former life, and it was usually a lot less work. He started scratching the scar running down his cheek again. He let people think he had earned it fighting marauders in unarmed combat. It helped his reputation and allowed him to charge more for his services. In reality, a jealous lover had once taken his own blade to him while he slept. When he remembered that night, he was thankful that was all she had managed to cut. A loud clang vibrated through the decking, bringing him back to the present. They had docked. They would be either hacking the doors or burning through. It wouldn't be long in either case. Davran knew the captain would be watching and resolved to do something of note, to try and earn himself a bonus. Six was at the airlock. He attached one end of his computer access device to the Grace's outer hull. Within moments, he was able to access the airlock's door controls. He stepped to one side, ready to press the release to allow 2 and 3 to storm past. He nodded to Gamma 13 to confirm he was ready to give them access to the ship. Gamma 13 nodded back, the unspoken command to proceed. 6 activated the door, and 2 and 3 were past him in moments. 6 unclamped his CAD from the hull and waited for the rest of the squad to go through, unholstering his own weapon. He followed them onto the Grace. The airlock in front of Davran and his men ground open. He caught a glimpse of an armored form stepping to one side in the boarding ship, only to be replaced by the view of two more coming straight at them behind two shields.
Fire!
The command was redundant. His men were already firing. Shotgun blasts struck the shields, to no effect. Davran could see more armored men step up behind the first two. That was the moment he recognized what they were facing, and realized that he and his men were already dead. The intruders had not returned fire yet, because his men's opening salvo had not had any visible effect on them. One by one, his men expended all their ammunition into the intruders, then started to reload. Davran hunched down behind the mule, activating his earpiece and looking up at the camera. He opened his mouth to tell Lantis what they were up against. Before he could speak his warning, though, the enforcers opened fire, causing him to hunch down further for cover. Two high-powered laser shots rang out. The two men on either side of him suddenly hurtled backwards several feet, their heads bloody ruin. He heard two more bodies hit the floor in rapid succession, as two more single shots were fired. Knowing he was as good as dead, Davran spoke into his earpiece.
Captain, it's...
His back pressed against the mule, he felt the suspension bow creaking under the heavy weight. Something was standing on the vehicle. Davran looked up. Behind him, on top of the mule, was an enforcer. On the figure's arm, a blade extended from the wrist. With one thrust, it plunged between Davran's neck and shoulder, deep into his torso. The pain only lasted moments. Gamma 13 took his blade out of the last of the defenders. Using his sidearm, he blasted the security camera on the ceiling. His squad had sustained no injuries. The skirmish had lasted less than a minute, and their most difficult obstacle was behind them. He signaled for 2 and 3 to head right and make their way down the corridor. They nodded their understanding and proceeded as directed. 6 moved to the left of the mule and took the sentry gun off his back, deploying it, facing down the corridor in the direction of the bridge. Nothing would be able to come at them unannounced from behind. He signaled for 4 and 5 to follow the others, making sure 6 was finished. He made his way to the engine room. 2 and 3 had halted as their way was barred. The door to the engine room had been sealed. 6 moved up and attached the CAD to the side of the door, and then shook his head.
They've welded it. We need to burn through. Proceed.
Gamma 13 responded. He watched as the engineer took out his thermic cutter, a device that used a beam of extreme heat to cut through almost any known substance. In moments, it started to melt through the metal. His men got into position to rush through with two shield up to knock the cut section over the door. Lantis watched in horror as Davran's men fired everything into the soldiers boarding their ship with no effect. She saw Davran duck for cover behind the mule as his men were executed around him. She heard him start to say something as one of the armored figures jumped onto the mule behind him, plunging his blade into Davran's neck. A brief fountain of blood erupted from the wound as the blade was removed. Then she saw the armored man point his gun at the camera. The screen went black. Lantis' hands were numb from gripping the sides of the command chair. She had recognized those armored men. The dark gray armor with yellow chevrons. Enforcers. They'd come for whatever those images represented, and their mission clearly didn't include letting any of the crew get out of here. She realized the bridge had gone quiet and looked around her. The bridge crew were staring at the blank screen, some open-mouthed, one or two shaking their heads in disbelief. It happened so fast. She spoke into her comms unit.
Ocyan.
Her voice wavered. Shifting in her seat, she composed herself.
Here, Captain. What's happening? We heard shots, but everything's gone quiet.
Ocyan replied.
Davran and his men are dead.
She gave him a moment to let that sink in, before continuing.
Have you sealed yourselves in?
Yes, Captain. Just finished welding the door shut myself.
By the tone of his voice, Lantis could tell he was scared. Ocyan Barnes had no experience with conflicts. He knew engines, and that was it.
Ocyan, if they get in, don't try and fight. Give them whatever they ask for.
Lantis hoped that by offering no resistance, her engineering crew might be spared.
Captain?
Ocyan replied.
I'm sorry, I couldn't get the engines back up in time.
Someone behind Ocyan shouted.
That burning through?
Lantis heard a massive clanking as a metallic object hit the deck in the engine room. Shots were fired, and the comms broke off with a hiss. Gamma 13 followed his men through the burned remains of the door. Engineers were falling all around, some with their arms up, trying to surrender. Others shot in the back as they tried to run for cover. Reaching for the scanner attached to his left hip, he started to scan the room. It was registering 8 life signs, 6 of his squad, and 2 others, hiding. He signaled 4 and 5, and they made their way to where he had indicated. 2 young men, barely 18 by their looks, were dragged out from their hiding place. thrown to the floor in front of him. He looked them over.
Six, do we need them to show you where to switch off the power to the engines?
He queried.
No.
Six responded from workstation to one side. He was removing his CAD and putting it onto his belt. Standing, he went on.
I've just powered them down and cut off the controls from the bridge to the engines.
Gamma 13 was grudgingly beginning to respect the engineer. So far he had been efficient and forward-thinking, having anticipated everything that was needed of him. Turning a gaze at the two youths sobbing on the deck at his feet, begging for their lives, he took his gun and fired two shots in quick succession. The bodies collapsed, one tumbling on top of the other.
Stein, are we picking up life signs in the engine room?
Stein was staring at the console in front of him. He didn't respond at first.
Stein!
The captain repeated herself louder. Stein turned in his chair to face Lantis, his face pale. His expression was all she needed to know that her worst nightmares were coming true.
They're all dead, Captain.
His voice may have been a whisper, but it was loud as thunder on the bridge at that moment. Lantis knew that the ship was lost. She made the decision to try and save as many of her crew as she could. Just beyond the bridge entrance was one of the two escape rafts that the Grace was equipped with. It was big enough for the bridge crew and the two men that Davern had left at the other airlock. Lantis turned to the crew.
Everyone to the escape raft,
she ordered.
Captain, sensors show life signs moving our way from the engine room. Fast.
Stein had regained a bit of composure.
They're using the mule. They'll be here in minutes.
Everyone, go now.
Lantis commanded as she got up out of her chair and left the bridge behind the crew. The door to the escape raft required her command code to open. She tapped in her code and stepped aside, allowing what was left of her crew to enter before her. She was going to be the last to leave her ship. Davern's two men arrived from the airlock and went through. As she entered behind them, Carl spoke from his position at the front. He would be in control of their descent to the surface of the planet below.
Captain, we have a problem.
He was busy flicking switches as he continued.
Whatever took our systems has also disabled auto-navigation on the raft.
Carl, you can pilot it manually.
Lantis interrupted.
Yes, Captain, but the other systems have been affected as well. Most notably the docking clamps. We can't disengage them. We'll need to reboot the system from here.
The crew let out dismayed sounds at the last statement.
There's an override on my command console back on the bridge.
She wasn't going to be leaving after all. Turning back to the entrance to the raft, she stopped by one of Davern's men.
I'll need your weapon.
He didn't hesitate to hand over his shotgun, for all the good it would do her, though she intended to go out with a bang if she had to.
And I'll be needing one too.
Stein unfastened his safety harness and grabbed the weapon from the second guard.
Stein, I can't ask you to stay.
Lantis said gently.
You're not asking, Captain, but I'm staying anyway.
Lantis smiled her gratitude at him.
Carl, get them down in one piece, please.
She requested.
Will do. Good luck, Captain.
The pilot replied. Lantis sealed the raft's doors behind her. Both she and Stein started back towards the bridge, and the place they both knew they were going to die. Gamma 13 saw the door to the bridge slam shut up ahead. Moments before, two people had gone through. They arrived at the door, exiting the mule. Six placed his CAD onto the access pad. Gamma 13 took out his scanner again, checking for life signs beyond the door. It was registering only two. He turned on the spot and got a location reading on several more, just a few yards up the corridor.
Six, over here,
he said.
Most of the crew are in that escape raft.
Six went up to the door and placed his device on the access pad.
Look, but no matter,
he asserted, and started to press a few keys on the pad. Gamma 13 heard a clanging sound as the locks holding the raft door in place receded, allowing the pod to launch. He turned on Six.
You failed to stop them launching. I didn't have time to stop the launch, sir.
Six replied, and calmly detached his CAD from the wall.
But I did have time to upload one of my special viruses to their system.
He walked past Gamma 13, back towards the sealed bridge door.
A virus?
Gamma 13 questioned.
Yes, sir. I keep a database of tailored viruses designed to disable most systems. You never know when they'll come in handy.
Six reattached his device to the bridge's door controls, and continued to work while explaining what the virus would do.
In about 5 seconds, they're going to experience a system failure on the exit hatch, which will open, exposing all those inside the hard vacuum. The raft itself should burn up on entering this planetary atmosphere, with no one alive to pilot it.
Six finished his work on the door and stepped to one side, ready to open it. Two and three were poised to leap through the minute it opened. Gamma 13 nodded to them.
Let's finish what we came to do.
Stein stood covering the door to the bridge as Lantis made her way to the control console that would release the raft.
"Just a few more seconds,"
she said.
"There."
Pressing the release button, she stepped back in triumph.
"Carl."
Speaking into her earpiece, she said,
"You're free. Get out of here."
"Where are you, Captain?"
came Carl's response in her ear.
"I'm maneuver thrusters and heading for the planet now."
"Good luck, Carl,"
Lantis answered.
"And to you. Wait, something's wrong."
There was a moment's pause.
"Captain, I'm getting system failure alert. Dad, it's shit."
There was a sudden howling noise over the frequency, then silence.
"Carl. Carl!"
Lantis yelled. Stein was too distracted by Lantis's outburst to notice the bridge door suddenly open. By the time he had turned his head back to the doorway he was supposed to be covering, he had been shot several times. The force of the shots threw him backwards off his feet, leaving him in a crumpled heap on the floor.
"Bastard!"
Lantis yelled as she raised her gun and began to fire back. Gamma 13 had stepped out from behind his men and took aim at the last crew upon the bridge. He recognized Captain Lantis from her image in the mission briefing. He shot her in the shoulder, making her drop her weapon and fall to the deck. As she struggled to get up, he kicked the arm she was using to support herself, making her drop to the floor again with a cry of pain. Rolling her over, he knelt on her chest, feeling some of her ribs give way under his weight.
"Bastard!"
she gasped again, through teeth clenched in pain.
"Six, check the logs,"
said Gamma 13, wanting this done with.
"Downloaded, sir. They've accessed the files, but at first glance it seems they haven't been able to get a signal out. I'll have a more thorough examination back on the ship."
Six replied. Gamma 13 plunged his assault blade into the captain's eye socket and through the deck beneath. The movement under him ceased.
"Let's get back,"
he said. They turned the mule around and headed back to their shuttle, where 4 and 5 were waiting. Six spent a few moments programming every outer hatch of the ship to open and engines to perform a final burst that nudged the ship into the gravity well of the planet, plunging it into a decaying orbit before boarding the shuttle, which took off and accelerated rapidly away from the doomed ship. Grace, named by her captain Anira Lantis, formerly Anira Grace of House Grace, slowly and delicately drifted downwards, becoming a streaking comet in the sky above the planet.